we're sat here at the moment in time. Gavin's just turned up as well. Big press conference on the way today. How are things going at this early stage? What, 7 weeks until Gavin steps into the ring?
Yeah, 7 weeks in. 7 weeks to go. We've had 3 weeks working together, and then he went over and got married. So he's just got back this weekend, and we've started straight back in. In fact, we just finished his morning session an hour ago, got straight in the car, come over here, and then we're going to train again later on this afternoon. So I'm happy where we're at this far out. So we've got a lot of work to do, and it's all part of the game. Looking forward to it.
Just give us a bit of an idea at this stage what he'll be doing then. You mentioned he's had his session this morning. What sort of stuff will he be doing at this early point?
Well, there's a lot of technical stuff that I'm doing with Gavin at the moment. He boxes a certain way, but I don't believe that he makes full use of his physical attributes. You know, he's a tall fighter. He doesn't tend to fight tall. You know, it's just technical aspects that you need to add to his game, give him a little different look so opponents can't figure him out as much or as quickly, and give him more options attacking wise. So there's a lot of work to do.
How much will his brother have a chat with him at this stage? Well, we all know about his brother. His brother's almost the headline act, isn't he? And I guess he's wanting to follow those footsteps, become a world champ.
Yeah, what a role model. Yeah. You know, his twin brother's a world champion. You know, so you can't get any better than that in the family. But yeah, the thing about these two is that they're very competitive on anything. You know, they're competitive on absolutely anything. So that's really good, because then, you know, one has a bit of success, the other one wants to compete and be better. They want to be the best in the family, never mind the best in the world. So that's great to have. And yeah, James is a big influence on Gavin, as to be expected, as I think any twin is to anybody, no matter whatever they do in life. But it's great banter. It's really, really good banter between them. And when we were out in Texas, you know, obviously Gavin was there to support Jamie. And the banter out there was just unbelievable. It really is. And it drives them on, you know. They're very unique. You know, they're good-hearted kids. Very nice to be around. But they've got this will and will to win and determination that's second to none. And when all the fun and games are put to one side, that's what counts. And you can't teach that. You can't force somebody to have a will to succeed. You know, they either want to do it or they don't. And these two kids definitely want to do it.
And I'll let the listeners into a bit of a secret. When Gavin just turned up, he said, "Oh, I didn't realise that he was going to be here, Jeremy Paradis, who he's going to be fighting." He didn't realise he was going to be at the press conference.
No, he didn't realise that it was going to be. You know, this is what they are. That, you know, Gavin and Jamie, they just laid back, they just took the rock up, and it is what it is.
It's a bit gutted that he hasn't brought the belt though to show it off.
Well, he did. He brought it. He brought it to the gym and he's left it in the car. We've come over in my car. And he went, "I didn't know the belt was in his bag," and he took his belt over to his car, left it in the car, so it's over there, so along with his wedding ring. So he's a bit gutted about that, but we'll see. We'll see if I don't know if Josh Warrington's got his belt that can bring him over or anything like that. I don't know, but we'll see. But listen, end of day, it is what it is. It don't matter, you know. It won't make any difference to what happens on fight night, and that's the most important thing, is that on fight night, you know, it brings his shorts, his gum shield, his boots and everything that he needs, you know, and that's what counts.
Josh Warrington is obviously the headliner on this card, but is there an argument that Gavin's fight, being a European title defence, is actually a bigger fight?
You can't say that here in Leeds. You'll get lynched. No, listen, Warrington's, you know, he is a champion. He's won all these titles already, and he's now looking on to the international world scene. So it's a big fight. That's a bit, and it's a cracking fight, because Brunker, stylistically, you know, he likes to let his hands go, and he wants to come for war and a tear up. Josh, we know, likes to let go of his hands, so that's going to be an absolutely barnstorming fight. You know, but you know, you've got to remember, Gavin McDonald against Jeremy Parody, that's a European title fight. That's a big, big fight, and there's a lot at stake for these two guys. So, you know, as far as we're concerned, you know, we're supporting Josh and everything, but all that matters for myself is that Gavin McDonald gets a W on September 5th.
The last time that Josh fought at the arena, it was carnage. The atmosphere in there was unbelievable, and those fans will get behind Gavin as a Yorkshire lad as well. We know how passionate the Yorkshireman can be.
Yeah, and especially the fact that Josh and Gavin are friends and have trained together in the past and sparred together and stuff, and so there's a lot of good chemistry between those two. So that'll transfer, like you say, and the fact that, you know, they're from Yorkshire, it's Yorkshire, especially, you know, it's England versus front select gets this right. So yeah, I would hope that all the Leeds fans would get behind Gavin, and I'm sure that they will do.
What could this fight do for Gavin? For the McDonald family, it's been a whirlwind last 18 months, yes, hasn't it? What could this do for him?
Listen, it's massive. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. You know, Gavin's a kid that you would never have expected to have succeeded as fast as what he has done. You know, he's no amateur experience. All of a sudden, in a space of a few months, he's become British Commonwealth European champion. You know, it's like, hang on a minute. And it's kind of, it's only 15 fights in. He's still an novice. He's still learning himself and his manager, Seffi Bull. You know, we've talked a lot about Gavin, and we're under no illusions that he's still learning. He's still, you know, he's overachieved, to be honest. You know, when you look at how he is at the moment, he's overachieved. But he's in a level now where he's fighting good fighters, very good fighters. And, you know, you're talking European level at these lightweights especially. There's some really good fighters out there. So there's no easy fights for him. There's no more fights where you can think, all right, we'll use this as a learning fight. These are like proper fights. So the pressure's on in one respect, that he has to perform while learning on the job. But, you know, I've dealt with that before. If you remember Curtis Woodhouse, you know, I trained Curtis for 6 years and had to build him up and put him in fights where everyone's better than him. Everyone's more experienced than him. You know, on paper, everyone's better than him. And while he was learning and adding things to his game, he was having to fight and perform in, you know, under pressure on those sort of occasions. And this is, you know, it's a similar sort of thing with Gavin. He's going to have to improve on the job if he wants to stay at this level and push on. And he does want to push on. He does want to compete with, you know, what the success that his brothers bring to their family and to the sport. He wants to have that same sort of stuff. So if he wants to do that, he has to do it the hard way and learn on the job. And he's willing to do that. And, you know, like I said, you know, we're 3 weeks in. And I'm enjoying working with him because he has got that drive, he has got that determination. He does want to learn and he does want to get better. You can't beat working with fighters that want to get better, no matter what level they are. You know, a kid that wants to improve, doesn't mind doing things the hard way, isn't looking for a shortcut, they're the kids that succeed. And that's why Jamie and Gavin McDonald have succeeded. You know, they've done fantastic. And they've got this will to win, and that's what you need.
Do you believe you can go on to be a world champion then?
Yes, because you've got to look at yourself. The thing about boxing is people are so quick to write off anybody. A fighter loses, oh, he's rubbish, he's never going to do anything. You know, when you look at the fact that Curtis Woodhouse, the amount of losses he had, the setbacks he had, where he'd come from, no experience. When our dream was to become a British champion, everybody laughed at us. What did he do? He ended up being a British champion, you know, because he had that will and that determination. And when you have a setback, you learn from it, you come back. Gavin McDonald, like I said, is similar in the fact that he's having to learn on the job. He's already European champion, so he's already halfway up the ladder, you know, three quarters way up the ladder. So being in that position already, you know, it's not like we're starting from scratch trying to aim for something. He's already done that bit. Now he's just got to develop and improve on to get into the next level, solidifying where he's at now at European level, because like I said, he's got there a little bit earlier than what you would have expected and what his stylistic abilities would suggest it would be at. But now he's, in order for him to get to world level, can he do it? Yes, he can. If he applies himself, if he improves how he needs to improve, then yes, he can. If he stays how he is now, then no. Yeah, you know, but he's not. He's already improving and he's already adding things to his game. So can he achieve that? You know, it's possible. Yeah, but all I'm focused on right now is getting his first European title defense out of the way. I'm not fussed about world titles and stuff yet. He's 15 fights in. You know, he might not be ready for that level for another 10 fights. You know, you can't say that you look at a kid now and say that is his level. In 10 fights, he's not going to be any better. He's not going to improve. He's not become a world level fighter. Or, you know, if you're talking about a British title contender, he's not become a European. You can't say what he's going to be in say 10 fights time.
Because I guess when you look 10 fights further back down the line, exactly, he's a very different fighter now.
Well, you've hit that bang on. Because 10 fights ago, would you have ever thought Jamie McDonald would be world champion? Would you ever thought Curtis Waddell would be a British champion? Would you ever have thought that Gavin McDonald would become British and European champion? No, you wouldn't. There's no way. So like you're saying there, 10 fights ago, you would have wrote them off and said no chance. Well, 10 fights in front, how do you know they're not going to achieve now? And that's how boxing is. You just don't know what's around the corner. The funny thing is, a kid can get beat, and then 2 fights later, it can be fighting for a world title. Yeah. That's how boxing is. Look at Sean Porter. Sean Porter got beat by Kell Brook. Everybody, before Kell Brook, everybody was saying he was a monster, he was this, he was that, he was going to be Mayweather's next man, he's great, this, this. He gets beat by Kell Brook, everybody writes him off. He comes back and he beats Broner. All of a sudden now he's back up there and everybody's saying, oh, he's another one impact for a Mayweather fight. You know, boxing, it's so fickle, and it's so, you know, people look at one result and write a fighter off, and another result and then hype a fighter up so much. That's how the game is. But all the fighter's got to do is keep improving, keep learning, and keep winning.